What a pleasure it is to welcome you to the continuing study of the Word of God today. This is Arnett McEntee speaking of the Family Bible Hour. As you study, we hope that you'll remember the Family Bible Hour in prayer. It will be heard on at least 100 releases around the world this week and in some 20 languages. So, again, as you study, please pray. Today you'll be studying from our cassette number 94, a message that was given on our program 1854 by Boyd Nicholson. His subject is that of building and dedicating the temple. It's an interesting study, so let's enjoy it together.
Thank you, Arnett. Shall we ask God's blessing on our program today? Father, we pray thy blessing upon the word, that many will find their way into thy presence through faith in Christ. As our desire, we ask thee to glorify Christ as the word goes forth in his precious name. Amen. As we look out on the happenings and the conditions of the times in which we live, it's evident to any intelligent viewer that we live in a world of inverted values and confused priorities. Not surprising, then, that in these last days of this age of grace, that some of this confusion should begin to infiltrate the church. Fortunately, God has not left us to our own religious imagination. He has given us a book to guide us through the maze of life. This book is the Bible, the Word of God. While some truths in these sacred scriptures are not always easy to understand or clear to every reader, happily, there are some things that are self-evident. The greatest of these is the absolute priority of God himself. From cover to cover, this truth is affirmed: God is first. We read in Isaiah 44, verse 6, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Therefore, the supreme blessing is to know and enjoy this God who is first. Our first responsibility is to obey this God who is first. Follows, then, that since God is first, then the highest service and the noblest activity in the divine order of things spiritual is to minister to God who is first. Here is the great priority of human existence. This service to God for his delight and joy is the exercise of worship. It's Satan's work to rob God of his rightful portion, so we're not surprised at the great confusion of religious activity that we see all around us today. In the Old Testament, so long as the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, we don't read that the ever had a central place of worship. It was not until they were delivered out of Egypt and taken into the wilderness that God gave to Moses instructions for the building of a place where he would meet with his people and they would minister to him. God called Moses up into a mount to show him a pattern or a picture of heavenly things. Then Moses was instructed to go down and build a replica on the desert sands of what God had shown him in the mountain. This structure is called the Tabernacle in the Wilderness. It was a portable tent and was known by different names. It was called the Dwelling of the Lord in Leviticus 17, and this speaks of the presence of God with men. God said that when the tabernacle would be raised, there he would meet with his people. This tent was called also the Tent of Witness in Numbers chapter 9, and this speaks of the holiness of God before men. There are two truths that Satan is seeking to destroy today. One is the holiness of God, and the other is the sinfulness of sin. Satan would seek to bring God down to a human level and elevate man to the very altitude of a god. The most cursory reading of Scripture makes it clear that God is holy and we, his creatures, are sinful. Therefore, any approach into the presence of God must be on His terms alone. The third name for this tent was in Exodus 27, the tent of meeting. And this spoke of the approachableness of God by men. It's wonderful that God ever deigned to dwell with men and to reveal His holiness before men, but it is most wonderful that God has made it possible that sinful man may be cleansed of his sins and approach into the very presence of God Himself. After 40 long years of wandering in the wilderness, the children of Israel entered at last into their inheritance in the land of promise. God was their king, and they enjoyed His blessings in a land of milk and honey. Sad to say, they were not satisfied with this arrangement, as they looked around at the other nations and saw that they all had kings whom they could see and serve. They too desired a king, just like the nations. So God gave them their wish, and King Saul was appointed as their first human king. Saul's sad history ended on the battlefield, slain by the enemies of God, and King David came to the throne. In his old age, he had a longing in his heart to build a permanent building, a house for the Lord. But because of David's warlike history, he was not permitted to build that house, but only to prepare the materials in great abundance, so that his son, who would follow him on the throne, would have all he needed to erect the structure that would be known as the temple or the house of the Lord. The wealth of materials that went into this wonderful building really staggers the mind. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 14, we discover he prepared 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, brass and iron that could not be weighed, timber and stones and precious stones, and onyx and marble that defy description. At last the building was completed. Its ornaments and furniture and the sacred vessels for the service and worship of God were all in place. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 that King Solomon gathered all the congregation of Israel to assemble together for the dedication of this great temple unto the Lord. What an occasion that must have been! The massed choirs of Israel, the musicians with cymbals and stringed instruments and trumpets, gathered together to make one great sound of praise to the Lord. A multitude of animals which could not be numbered, of sheep and oxen, were sacrificed upon the altars of Israel that day. Then, as the people praised the Lord, saying, "He is good, for His mercy endureth forever," the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud of glory, so that the priest could not stand to minister in the house of God. But the centuries rolled by, and the temple was destroyed. Another one was built, and yet another. But now they have all passed away. And when we come into the New Testament, we read some very remarkable truths about God's temple today. In Acts chapter 7, verse 46, we read, and in verse 48, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, 'Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house would you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest?'" Then what about the sacrifices for sin? Where are they today? When we turn to the epistle to the Hebrews, we read in chapter 10 and verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore when He," that is the Lord Jesus, "when He cometh into the world, He saith, 'Sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure.' Then said I, 'Lo, I come.'" In the volume of the book it is written of me, "To do thy will, O God." And in verse 11, listen to this, "Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Notice those words. which can never take away sins, but this man, the Lord Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. What is God saying to us today? He does not dwell in marvelous temples or great church buildings made with hands, be they ever so magnificent, embellished with gold or silver or marble or crystal or whatever, be they ever so ancient, be they ever so sacred in the eyes of men, bathed in light that filters through stained glass windows, fragrant with incense, decorated with sacred designs. God does not dwell in such temples. Do you see now why there is so much confusion of religion in the minds of men? Where then does God dwell? Where is his holy temple today? Let me answer clearly from the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, writes in chapter 2, verse 19, "Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Where then is the temple of God today? Not made with hands at the cost of millions of dollars, but built by the hand of God at the infinite cost of the sacrifice of his own beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all who believe on him and have received him to be their Savior are in fact the living stones of that glorious structure, a spiritual temple inhabited by God through the eternal Spirit. Dear listener, there is a way into the presence of God, but it is not by animal sacrifice. It is not by the works of men. It is not by prayers, nor by religious ceremony. Be not deceived by the vast systems of the world's religions, their works, their wonders, or their wealth. These cannot prepare you to meet God. They can stir the emotions of your soul. They can influence the thoughts of your mind. They can capture the affections of your heart, but not any, nor all of them together, can put away your sin and make you ready to meet God. The Lord Jesus Christ alone can save you from your sins and add you to that spiritual house, a holy temple unto the Lord. Turn from man's way to God's way. Jesus said it, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." O God, we pray thy blessing upon thine own word, that many will be wise and find their way into thy presence through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name and for his glory. Amen.